movement, these athletes have been left operating in a vacuum, trying to wrest concessions from ownership and to join the struggle for Black lives. And so I think just that idea is that, or the idea that the labor, you know, these players did this on their own. They were not co-opted to do it by, you know, the AFL-CIO or anything. And it is now up to the leaders of the labor movement in this country to pick up where they went on, to support these guys and to pick up the ball where they then set it down for them. And really just push this forward and push labor's role in changing politics in this country. We, as always, are out of time. This is a discussion that we are no doubt going to see again. We'll bring up again in the future episodes. We will be back on in October, the third Monday in October. We will be coming to you then. And thank you for listening. I, of course, have been Michael Cathcart.
And I'm Elliot Gillan.
If you're interested in continuing this conversation, you can find me on Twitter at Michael B. Cath, or you can go to kboo.org, and don't forget to support our station and go to kboo.org/give. Have a great night. Thank you.
KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Crossing Boundaries, virtual fishing derby and auction from Saturday, September 26th through Sunday, October 4th, streaming online. This fundraiser for the conservation of Pacific Northwest salmon and steelhead features a virtual fishing derby, auction, trivia night, and more. Again, that's Crossing Boundaries, virtual fishing derby and auction from Saturday, September 26th through Sunday, October 4th, streaming online. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under community events.
I'm a going fishing, mama's going fishing, and the baby going fishing too.
Hi, my name is Selena, and I'm a KBOO volunteer board operator. I'd like to give a shout out to Ray and Sonia, who both trained me to be a board op. They made it look so easy with their years of experience, but they also supported me in my learning curve when the processes were new to me. This is a prime example of what I love about KBOO. The community of volunteers is always willing to share their knowledge and resources in order to create great radio. While the station is closed during this time of physical distancing, I continue to support KBOO as a beacon of the light of information. Please support KBOO today by going to kboo.fm/give. Thank you.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Hi, greetings and welcome to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland. I'm your host, Adam Carpinelli. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. We're here with Jeremy Young with Soundfly and Behind the Bars Prison Project. How are you doing?
How's it going, Adam? I'm great.
Awesome. Hey, thanks for being on the show. Can you tell us a little bit about your background and about all your great music projects, and then we'll talk about your larger project Behind the Bars.
Thanks for having me, Adam. This is a great show, and it's a really great initiative that you guys have here. I've been keeping a little bit of tabs in the past week as I've gotten more into this subject myself, and I absolutely love everything that you guys are doing. So it's sort of like a double shout out. Yeah, so I work for a company called Soundfly. We do online music education in a few different ways. Without going too deep into the rabbit hole, basically we make online courses to help musicians get better at composition, production, songwriting, even music business, marketing, stuff like that. And we also have one-on-one mentorship programs. So essentially, you come to us, you want to learn something that we don't have a course on, or even something we do have a course on, we can help pair you up with a professional who is working in the field that you can basically do a session with, and it's pretty affordable. So that's what we do at Soundfly. Me personally, I'm also a musician, I'm a guitarist, and a songwriter, composer. But lately, most of my music has been in the electroacoustic world, a little experimental and improvisational. And I am a touring musician, but in 2020, I'm not so sure that exists anymore. So, you know, I got to do a little bit of soul searching these days and find out what the core of my musical offering is if I'm not going to be performing in front of audiences.
Right. And that's a big restriction for everybody, including people behind bars to make music and access the kind of, you know, outside, you know, services and things of that nature.
For sure.
So can you tell us about your Behind the Bars project?
Yeah. So one of my duties at Soundfly is that I am the editor of our daily blog. It's called Flypaper, which is, I just absolutely love that name. Pretty much normally we cover you know, the gamut of music education topics, just like little tips and tricks and like daily resources and lessons for people to hop on the blog and learn something really quick within 5 to 10 minutes that they can bring into their music making activities. However, a few times a year we sort of, you know, stop that and start to focus on a larger issue. You know, with everything that was going on this year, we've already done a lot of content regarding COVID and the pandemic and just what it's like for musicians being locked down, musicians who can't go to school. So that aspect of our business has pretty much changed since February, regardless. But we wanted to do something a little bit different. And with Behind the Bars, essentially it's like a week's worth of content that explores the issue of mass incarceration, you know, a little bit about police brutality and just the sort of injustices around the prison system from a little bit of a musical standpoint. So we're exploring stories of music that's being made in prisons, whether it's albums that are recorded in prisons or, you know, prison work songs like the Alan and John Lomax's recordings from the 30s. I should say from the 30s through the 60s, where they're recording prisoners who are singing work songs and like plantation songs, blues songs, in the context of prison confinement, all the way through to music as rehabilitation effort, rehabilitation projects, such as some of the stuff that you do with Keys, Beats, Bars, and some of the organizations you work for. You know, even like telling the story of like Bob Dylan's The Hurricane, which tells the story of Reuben Hurricane Carter, who was incarcerated, wrongfully accused, and then eventually got out of jail. That's a situation in which like a songwriter kind of helped to bring public consciousness around, you know, this prisoner's life and story in order to rally the public around change. So what we're trying to do with the blog and with the various efforts, you know, starting conversations like on social media, within our subscriber community, across our email list, and in the greater communities that we sort of reach, is just to build awareness of the ways that musicians can help with their talents, just like whether they want to get involved in a prison music program local to themselves or start something new, or just, you know, get inspiration, ways to sort of explore these stories and to explore these issues for the betterment of society at large. When you look at like the prison population in the US, what, 2.3 million people are incarcerated or something. I mean, that's a significant chunk of our brothers and sisters, our population. This is like our people, and they're behind bars and they can't, you know, express their rights. They can't express their stories. We need to be listening to their stories. And there's so many ways just to sort of give back to this community and allow them chances to sort of reintegrate into society, chances to grow, to heal, and to let us know how they feel and what their experiences are. And a great way to do that is through music. So in our really small way as a music education company, we just wanted to bring that issue forward.
Can you talk more about the background of the project and how it kind of came to be and how the moving parts work? Because among other reasons I ask as well, but just it's so hard in a lot of cases for artists, filmmakers, musicians to kind of get inside and to do things, and how that kind of process works with kind of like a larger media project such as yours.
Yeah, well, actually, to take a step back, we're not really doing anything on the ground right now. So we're trying to sort of avoid the pitfalls of making those kinds of suggestions because our community is so international. This is a North American thing right now for us in terms of how we talk about it. But we didn't want this to be isolating in any way. So we're not making any on the ground efforts. However, that being said, this did get started because of conversations that the Soundfly team was having with its subscribers, with its mentor community, and with ourselves as a team. Like, we have just been noticing stuff is going down right now. Like, there are some problems out there and we don't have the answers. We don't want to try to provide the answers, but we wanted to try to provide resources, places to go to look in case you are amped up about making change, if you want to use your voice as a platform for social change, and motivational stories, like just to tell the stories of people who have come before us. Earlier this year, I saw that documentary. Adam, you and I had talked about that really briefly. There's a documentary called 16 Bars, which takes place in Richmond, Virginia, at the Richmond City Jail, which is a transitional jail. Well, whatever, I don't want to go too deep into the film, but essentially this is a documentary about a project in which Speech from Arrested Development came in, set up a sort of makeshift studio in the jail there in Richmond, and was just sort of recording music and spoken word and stories from some of the inmates. And the documentary follows those inmates as they transition back out into the world, into being citizens. And it follows their lives and it follows the story of how their songs came into being. And that was really powerful for us. We sort of saw in real time both the power of music, like I said, to sort of motivate, to heal, to inspire, to give people a voice, to increase people's confidence, but also the pitfalls of music. You know, just because you record a song doesn't necessarily mean that you're building the tools to reintegrate into society. I think there's a lot of prison music programs that are great, but maybe they fall a little bit short. And what we wanted to do was to give like a little bit more of a full picture of the ways in which music can come into that experience, both for prisoners and for people on the outside, just as a platform, as a creative medium to talk about these issues. So the documentary is incredible. I'm not trying to sort of knock it in any way. It was absolutely wonderful. And it really opened our eyes. We cover the documentary a lot in our blog entries, but it was really the starting point. And we asked ourselves, like, how can we tell like a larger story and reach a larger community with different types of engagement? And so that led to just a lot of research, a lot of conversations. And what we ended up with was a handful of articles, some of which touch on vocal choir music, chamber music, collaborative songwriting efforts, hip-hop education stuff, also music history stuff. It touches on recording and production and mixing types of conversations and stories. And then we just tried to sort of do like daily conversations with our subscriber base. We sent out emails. We reached out to organizations that are actually working on the ground. We reached out to your radio station and your program to sort of help spread the word. And yeah, it's been a bit of a success. I've been really, really proud of it. So yeah, just to reiterate, like, we're not really going into any prisons ourselves with Soundfly. We're not going and doing these programs on the ground, but we're really just trying to shout out people that are doing good work. We offer a list of resources where people can go to donate to different organizations. And I can share that with you if you want to post it somewhere. And just like amplifying these great stories that we've heard about and trying to do them justice.
So let's talk about the engagement. You said mm-hmm. that this is to spark in some aspect some conversation, some thoughts, things of that nature. What does that look like? What does the engagement look like? And how are people responding?
A lot of it's through social media. So we get a lot of DMs, people just sort of telling us that they've been really enjoying the content. The thing with Soundfly is that we've got different sort of user bases. We've got our general list, which is about 50,000 people at this point, and we've got a paid subscriber base. These are people who pay monthly to engage with our courses. And for that community, we have a private sort of community forum. And every day since last week, we've been talking about Music in Prison's content. We've been talking about these different issues. So the engagement with these different user bases has been high. But then what I love is I've also been sharing it on my personal social media accounts and stuff. So I've been reaching people who don't necessarily know who I am, who are just, you know, following a hashtag or fans of an organization that I've tagged or something. But we've gotten hit up by some great people. There's a dude... I hope that I'm pronouncing his name right, but his name is Uptop Fett. He calls himself Dripsy Hustle, which I don't think that's his rapper name. I think his rapper name is Uptop Fett, but he's a producer, he's a rapper. He was incarcerated for 5 years in federal prison, and he found out about what we were doing and just sort of sent me an email, and he's like, how can I help? And that's the kind of thing that we really encourage. So we sort of armed him with different ways that he can talk about this, tagging us, mentioning different organizations he might not have known about, sharing his story. We're going to be like tagging him and sharing his story and stuff. So just stuff like that, these exchanges. There's also there's a record label, I'm sure maybe they've come onto your radar before, but they're called Die Jim Crow. They're sort of a new record label based out of Brooklyn and Philly. Same thing. They found out about what we were doing, hit me up. Just sort of, you know, wanted to like share the content and just get involved and you know, it's like mutual love, right? Like just we share what they're doing in the hopes that some of our community will go and buy their records. Oh, and I should mention that record label, what they do is they publish currently and formerly incarcerated artists' work digitally. And I think pretty soon they're going to start with physical editions as well. But so it's pretty much a record label set up to help, you know, fundraise the lives of artists who are behind bars, which is great. Once again, they're called Die Jim Crow. I just wanted to sort of make sure that was clear and shout out them.
That's a good name. For folks just tuning into Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland, we're here with Jeremy Young with Soundfly and Behind the Bars Prison Project. So can you tell us what the dates were for that week? There was a week that was posted that was dedicated to music in, about, and from prisons.
Well, that was last week, which at this point, that was August 10th to August 15th, 2020. We are recording this on August 20th, so this is the following week. But that content still exists on our blog. It's sort of crystallized on our blog, which is Flypaper. It's called Flypaper, flypaper.soundfly.com. And you can find it, you know, you go to the site and you can just search prisons or search music in prisons. There's a ton of ways that you can find that content. It'll exist forever. Unfortunately, like at some point, we're going to have to stop posting about it and stop shouting about it, you know, and resume our normal activities. But the idea is just to start the conversation, and we feel like we did a pretty good job with that. And more than anything, we just feel like we've built some relationships with organizations that anyone can donate to, people that are doing really good work bringing music rehabilitation programs into prisons, and just, you know, pushing the envelope a little bit with our community and our subscriber base who might not have had this issue on their radar before. I feel pretty good about that.
So going back on the conception of the project and before it really kind of maybe launched and or during when it launched too, but you know, you mentioned research, that it took engagement and research along the way. And so when we talk about, you know, research and learning about prisons and the life of prisoners, and then specifically in your case, looking at what's going on with music or what's not going on music-wise, you know, inside of the prisons. Can we talk about the research? What are the kind of things that y'all needed to, wanted to learn, that maybe you had to learn, And then from there, what was actually the follow-up there? How did that come full circle?
I think to answer that question, actually, you know, we kind of have to go back a little bit, because when we started to look into this issue as something to talk about it as a company, this was really kind of right in the middle of the aftermath of the killing of George Floyd, which it's hard to talk about mass incarceration and police brutality in the same conversation as if they're the same thing. And I don't mean to do that, but what's been happening in the US in the last few years has really sort of like opened everyone's eyes up to systemic injustice, systemic, you know, racist infrastructures that inform the prison industrial complex and inform community policing. And it's like, it's always something that we want to be talking about. And it's a complicated issue because it's always happening. And our business is not built around that necessarily. So we're always looking for these sort of micro contexts in order to be able to push new conversations and push sort of stories of positivity, stories of motivation in a focused way. So if we go back to like, you know, May and June, when we started to sort of plan this content out and do that initial research, everybody here at Soundfly and pretty much everybody I know around the country, around North America, it was just like hugely affected by not just the killing of George Floyd and the aftermath, but protests and the way that the US government sort of handled that, but like all of the things that unfolded as a result of it, all of the things that we're learning about policing tactics and prison conditions and, you know, issues with like bail and representation. And there's so much that needs to be repaired and healed. And, you know, music can't do everything. But in our sort of little area of expertise, when it comes to sort of teaching music and enlivening, you know, people's realities via music, we're always looking for these little like micro contexts in order to share stories of positivity. So when we first started to do research, that was like the framework was how can we fold this into a supportive message with Black Lives Matter, a commitment on behalf of our entire company to sort of like not shy away from difficult conversations, instead to sort of provoke them, but also to make sure that it was focused and stick to the thing that we do best, which is education. You know, like talking about George Floyd was not really part of the agenda because it doesn't really have to do with what our community expects of us necessarily. But we wanted to make sure that we addressed it in a responsible way and addressed the issues that we think sort of inform societal movements and societal change. So mass incarceration, issues of imprisonment. When we first started doing research on that, the thing that we first started looking towards was just stories. Like we just wanted to see who's doing what kinds of ways are music interacting with the prison system and with individuals within the prison system. And we found a lot of stuff. I mean, we did a ton of research. We found a lot of great stories on the periphery, and we just decided to focus on a small few like that we could kind of handle in terms of doing a week's worth of content and a week's worth of conversations, but also just an array of stories that showed the diversity of ways in which music can interact with the prison experience in a positive way.
Yeah, what would be one that might be striking for you? You mentioned the film. Are there other things that folks came across that were striking? I mean, obviously you had to kind of sift through some stuff because you've probably found tons and tons of resources and you're on a limited schedule and time frame for how long the engagement was going to last. What are some things that came out that people might not have already known about and that ended up being useful for people who were engaging from the community?
We didn't go deep into the rabbit hole of the prison experience at large. I mean, we really just wanted to focus on musical stuff. And in that respect, I mean, we're not seeing necessarily a lot of like negative ending stories per se. But, you know, I mean, it's a harsh existence.
So in terms of yourself as a musician and seeing how people have been engaging with music and talking about these issues and whatnot, what would you say to musicians as yourself as a fellow musician in general, aside from the project itself, kind of just moving forward and with all the continued consciousness raising that's happening all over the world, really, but, you know, specifically in North America, where things are still pretty heated, you know, in places, you know, here, like in Portland, Oregon.
Something that I'm not sure we had a really good chance to sort of elaborate on, but to me, it's kind of meaningful, is this idea of active learning through collaboration and how important that is. Once again, I mean, I'll never knock a program that goes into prisons and tries to do anything that they can in terms of music, like providing music in some form, I think is always kind of helpful. But I think people sort of tend to stop a little bit too early. And a sort of like theme and a recommendation that I have is that it's just like how we find in the world of education. You can't just stop at creating content, for example, or you can't just stop at you know, writing a song and then closing the door behind you and hoping that change just magically happens. What I mean by that is, if you want change to happen, whether that's on a societal level or even an individual level, if you want to help somebody heal from trauma, help somebody build the tools to empower themselves, either when they get out or in a longer sentence, to sort of like mentally have the strength to continue to be creative and to allow their brain to sort of go to those places. I think collaboration, focus, and depth are so important. So what I mean by that is, the best programs out there that make the biggest impact are not the ones that kind of just come in and do a concert. There's always limited time when it comes to prisons. I mean, it's not like you have weeks and weeks and weeks. You have to work within like strict time limits, and it's always a little bit unpredictable. I mean, that's just the nature of it. But just to make sure that you're working in collaboration with prisoners, you're sort of songwriting, you're getting their input, and you're not imposing, and you're really breaking down some of the power dynamics that you might come in with that you don't realize. And it's the same thing that we find in education. The educator needs to come down to the student's level and build them up from within. That's always really important. And as a result, the educator always ends up learning something that they've never experienced before or known before. And it's the same thing in this situation. People that go in with preconceived ideas and preconceived plans won't really get anything out of it. You have to sort of grow something from the ground up, and it's incredible what you're going to accomplish.
You've been listening to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. Big thanks to our engineers, our guest Jeremy Young with Behind the Bars Music Project. That's with Soundfly. Look it up. And Free 'Em All. Adam here from Prison Pipeline, asking you to donate now. Community-supported radio, KBOO 90.7 FM. Our fall membership drive is going until the end of October, and we need your support now. You can donate right now at kboo.fm/give. You can't be at the station to take your donation by phone, so support us online. Check out the KBOO mobile app, and you can snail mail us at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Please urge your friends and family members to keep us on the air. If you want to hear my sultry pipes on Prison Pipeline, please donate now, and I can promise you that you won't find programs like Prison Pipeline anywhere else. Support the movement for community radio. Support KBOO at kboo.fm/give. Check out the KBOO mobile app and snail mail us at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue.